Thank you, Lord, that you are our hope. Thank you, Lord, that you have died so we can have life, so we can live with a purpose. Thank you, God, for your love and for your kindness, for your death and for your resurrection. Thank you, Lord, that we can rejoice this morning, that we can be reminded this morning that you are for us. And when you are for us, nothing can stand against us. We belong to you. We are your people. We are your children. And we thank you for that opportunity that you had given us and the call that you had given us to come and follow you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, and Christ is risen. What a beautiful moment that throughout the world, the Christian people, the people that are born again, the people that call Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, we get to celebrate not only during Easter, but every day of our life, because if he did not rise from the dead, we would be still dead in sin. And we have hope in him. And that's why we're here rejoicing. And I hope you're going to be blessed. And I pray you're going to be blessed today, because we always, when we gather together, when Christ is in the center of what we do, by default, we get blessed. Amen? We come with expectations to this place and knowing that because Christ has saved us, there is a purpose and there is a plan that he has for our life. And our life is not just wasted, but it's lived to the fullness in Christ Jesus because of his resurrection. What a powerful, powerful reminder through the word of God that reminds us today. Today, I would like to speak to you from the word of God, and the title of my message is, There is Still Room at the Table. There is still room at the table. There's so many millions and billions of people around the world that are at the table today, finding themselves being together with their family, and they're gathering with their friends and family at a meal, and they're discussing possibly some, not all, but they're discussing about this beautiful day and the hope that we have in Christ. But do you know that there is so many also people that do not have that opportunity? There's also so many people that don't find themselves at the table. They find themselves to be lonely, far, and lost. But there is hope for them as well. And there is room at the table for them as well. And maybe you're here today that you're in that group of people that you don't have anything going on, and you wish you would be at the table somewhere. But today, during this message, I'm going to remind all of us that there is room for me and for you to sit at the table with Jesus Christ. Amen. Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 and down. Now if Christ is preached that he has not been risen from the dead, how does some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? Because there was a debate, can that really happen? And now Apostle Paul addresses this issue. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ did not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. This is our Christianity. Apostle Paul not only talks to the people of that time, but he reminds all of us that listen, if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is dead and our faith is also empty. We have nothing to offer. And in verse 15, he says, yes, and we are found false witnesses of God. Can you imagine that? He's just saying, listen, if you're preaching the gospel, if you're preaching the resurrection of Christ, and if really Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, then you can be charged. You can be charged because you are false teachers of the gospel. Because we have testified of God that he has risen up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is faltered. You are still in your sins. What a thought that everything comes to the resurrection of Christ. And he reminds us, listen, if Christ did not rise from the dead, then basically we are still in sin. We're still lost people. We're still far away. But if he did, if it is true that he did rise from the dead, what a hope we have in Jesus. Hallelujah. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. And Apostle Paul is saying, listen, if you as a believer, you think that the only hope you have in life is here on this earth, then I feel bad for you. Because there is so much more to the life of Jesus Christ that he's offering to us. Not only here on earth, but for eternity. And because we have eternity with him, we can partake of that life that he has for us here on earth. Christianity is not just for us to feel good here on earth. It's not only for us to come here on Sunday morning or on Wednesday prayer meeting and just to have a little bit of fellowship. There is so much more to this life. Because he had given us life in abundance. And because we have hope not only here on earth, but we have eternal hope. And one day when we say goodbye to this earth, God is gonna welcome us into his kingdom. Because our life, we look forward to that day when he's gonna take us home. Amen? And we are not only to commit and not only to think that this is just temporary here, but it is permanent. When we come to Jesus Christ and we're born again, it's not a temporary life, but it's a permanent life in Jesus Christ. Amen? That is a beautiful thought that the Word of God talks to us about. Because of his resurrection, we have hope, not only in this life, but in eternity. In eternity, we have access to him now. We can come to him now boldly, Apostle Paul says. Come bold into his presence to find grace in the time of need. It is because of his death and resurrection. Everything that we have in life is because Jesus has conquered all the things, and now we walk into that victory. And now, he's inviting us to come to his table because the work has been done. Often we love to labor. We enjoy working because everything in life that we see around us, we have because we have worked for. We have a house because we took a mortgage. We have a job because we have applied. We have all the things in life because we have worked. There was an exchange, but this does not work in the kingdom of God. Because the work was done for me and for you. And now we enter by faith and saying, God, when you said it is finished, it is finished. And now what is left for us as believers, what is left for us as non-believers, it is to come to his table because there is room at the table just for you. It is to come and rest and supper with him, eat the meal with him and rest at the table because the work has been done. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus shares a parable of the great supper. An invitation went to many, and then many times people were sent away to invite people to come to this great supper. And they said, come, for all the things are ready. You know, the table is not that, can you wait for a minute because it's not ready yet? Often in our life, if we prepare a meal and somebody's coming over, we say, can you just wait a few more moments? We still have to prepare some things. Even we can be at the house already and the meal is still being cooked. And people in the house can be like, can you wait just a few more minutes? And it becomes awkward because we have to make up stories and we have to entertain people. And we have to kind of just, what are we gonna do next? But Jesus is not like that. When Jesus invites us to his table, everything is ready to go. He says, the table is ready. Now go and invite people. And the invitation went to a lot of people. People knew about this supper. And all of a sudden, somebody who was invited says, well, I bought a property. I have to go and see this property. I can't go to this table. Listen, the food is getting cold. Well, it can wait because I have business to do. I have invested into this property that is gonna burn one day anyways. I have invested and instead of going to the table, I'm gonna go and see because I'm so excited. How often in our life when we're invited to the table, we say, well, I gotta go and do this. I had bought something. I'm so excited to see it. I can't wait. The table can wait, but I can't wait to go and see this or that. Another says, I bought 5 yokes of oxen. I'm going to test them. What a great time to go test a yoke. During a meal. Can you imagine that? During a meal. Another one says, well, I just got married. So I can't go now because I've waited all my life to this day. I have to just do my own thing. I just got married. I look forward to this day. I will say no to the meal and yes to a marriage. And in the end of the day, it is a picture that people did not understand the season and the time. People that were preoccupied with all of the things they were doing in life instead of accepting the invitation to the table. Now in verse 21 says, so that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly in the streets and lanes in the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. What an amazing picture of the body of Christ. Yesterday, our children and our church members, we had an incredible opportunity to go to Lancaster and do an outreach. Greta and the children's ministry, they put up this incredible outreach, and we just are so grateful. I've seen some pictures on Facebook and my heart was just leaping with joy seeing our children, 5, 4, 6 years old, already learning how to go and love people. But you see, this is the people that the master says you go invite them, because all the people that call themselves perfect, they have things in life. They don't need a meal. They don't need to come to the table. They don't want to. They have things that are going on in their life that they don't want to be distracted. But now, because there is room for you at the table, you go find these people that are blind. You go find these people that are poor. You go find these people that are lame and that are sick and invite them because there is room for them. In our culture that we live in around the world, we have the tendency to keep people like this away from the table. I'm sure you have seen videos as well when actually homeless people or poor people that are sick, they can come even to McDonald's to get a meal, and they sit in McDonald's and getting kicked out because they're not welcome there, because they're not the way the world says they should be, so they don't belong there. Even in McDonald's, not talk about other restaurants, but isn't it amazing that the kingdom of God is upside down? When people are not welcoming to McDonald's, God says, come to me, to my table, because there is room for you at my table. And the servant said, master, it is done as you commanded, and there is still room at the table. And I love this. This is where the title came, that everything that you have told us, we went and invited people. People came, but there is still room at the table. And today I'm going to remind you that if you're here and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there is still room for you at the table. Our life is not too far. You have not been too far. You have not done too many things for God not to accept you, to forgive you and wash you. He has resurrected for your righteousness, for my righteousness, for us to have hope in Him. And today, if you find yourself that you're so far away from the Lord, God is reminding all of us that there is still room at the table just for you. Just for you. That the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. You see, we have a mission as a church. Not just to go and say, God, I just witnessed to somebody just passing by. But it says, compel them. This is a life and death situation. Compel them and tell them that there is room at my table. Because my house has to be filled with people. Filled with what kind of people? With blind, with broken people, with people that are sick, with people that are lost, with poor people. My house should be filled with those people. Because when these people come, they have nothing to offer to the Lord. And then when they become born again, they have everything to offer to the world through the power of God. Hallelujah. The house of the Lord has room for broken people. There is room for people that are lost. There is room for people that are so far away. And now as we just read that the Bible says that the maimed came, the lame and the blind were invited to come. And once we were like that. Don't think that we were so perfect. Apostle Paul says, once you were like that, but now through Christ Jesus, hallelujah. But now, because of the cross, because of the resurrection, we have access to Him. And we are not to look down on people that don't have it all together, but we are to have compassion on them. And I'm so glad that Christ has found me and you. I am so glad I was thinking this morning, even during worship, I was thinking about my life. Where would I be without Christ? Think about that. Where would we be without Christ? We are who we are because of the grace of God. If Apostle Paul can say that and he thought he had it all together, how much me and you, we need that. We need that testimony in our life to say we are who we are because of the grace of God. Now let's take a moment and talk about a man that was lame in both of his feet from his birth. A man that maybe did not amount to anything. He was living as a child, he was growing up, and he thought that his life is pretty much over. He needed help from other people. He needed help for somebody maybe to assist him. But one day, his life was changed. One day, he accepted the invitation to come to the king's table. And during this time that I would be reading the story and talking about the story, I would like for all of us to think, what was or why was the opportunity given to him to be at the table with the king? What made this possible for this man named Mephibosheth to be able to come to the king's table and be with him and dine with him? And this story is written in 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1 and down. And I'll be reading to a few scriptures here. And this story is the kindness of David to Mephibosheth. And David said, "Is there still anyone left in the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And throughout the journey, when David is running for his life, we know that there was contention, there was problems between the kingdoms and Saul and David and the houses of Saul and the house of David. But after a while, when John played a big role in David's life and he spared his life, David and Jonathan, they made a covenant. And now that covenant comes to the mind of David when he's a king, and he says, "Is there someone in the house of Saul that I might show kindness to him?" And then the Bible says that the response was, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He's crippled in both of his feet." And now, if you can go with me in verse 6, and it says, "And Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and paid homage," or he began to weep. And David said, "Mephibosheth," and he answered, "Behold, am I your servant? I am your servant." And David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan, and I will restore to you all the land of Saul to your fathers, and you shall eat at my table always." And he paid homage and said, "What is your servant that you show so great kindness in regards for that? As am I as a dead dog to you that you're showing me this great kindness?" And Mephibosheth is here in this place that he's getting this invitation. As the Bible says that during this feast, somebody went and invited the lame, the blind, the poor, the broken. And now this invitation comes to this person that is lame. "Come to the king's table." And when he comes to the king's table, he has this tendency to say, "I am no human. I'm like a dog. I'm the lowest of the lowest. Who is me that you have shown kindness to me? What did you find in me so beautiful that you had called me by name?" And here David says, "Do not be afraid, Mephibosheth. Do not fear, for I'm gonna show you kindness." And why is he showing him kindness? And here he says, "Because of my covenant that I had with Jonathan, your father." That's an amazing story. And the Bible speaks so clearly, and he spoke to me so clearly in early days of being here at Summit, that how God has paid the price for me to enter into his kingdom. That it's not a kingdom of works, but it's a kingdom of faith. It's not what I can produce to accept this invitation. It's not what I can produce to gain my access to him, but what has been done for me to come to him. And this is the power of the new covenant. This is the power of the resurrection of Christ. That he has done everything for me and for you. So now we can enter into his kingdom. We can sit at his table and enjoy the meal with him. And later on, he says that Mephibosheth was lame in both of his feet, but all the days of his life, he was finding himself eating at the king's table with David for the rest of his life. And I would like to just ask you to make a picture in your mind that when we are at the table, we do not see our feet anymore. There is a tablecloth that covers us when we usually come to a table, unless we like to eat standing. Unless we're prideful when we're invited to somebody's table and say, have a seat, and we say, no, I'm gonna stand. That talks about pride. That talks about, I'm not gonna do what you're asking me to do, but I have my own ways of doing. But here Mephibosheth is saying, I'm gonna stay at this table now. I'm gonna find myself at the king's table. And what a picture that is for me and for you. That when Jesus Christ invites us to the table, that he covers us with his righteousness. He's covering us with his righteousness. When Mephibosheth was in the living room, people can see that he was feeble. But when Mephibosheth was at the tablecloth covered him, and he was just as perfect as the king saw him and other people saw him. When we find ourselves at the table, we are covered. Our iniquity is covered. Our sin is covered. Our lameness is covered. Our shame is covered. Because the king is in need of me and of you. And the only reason this is covered, because God the Father had a covenant with his son. And because of that covenant, now he says, I'm gonna invite people to come to this table. Hallelujah. As the worship team comes, we're gonna be closing in a moment. But I just wanna remind you, as David said, is there somebody from the house of David that I might show kindness and mercy for the sake of their father, Jonathan, because I had a covenant with him and now I wanna show kindness to him. The same invitation goes to me and to you, because God the Father had a covenant with his son, Jesus Christ. We can come to his table now. We can enter this by faith and say, God, cover me. Are you in this room, feel like you are not covered? Are you here still feeling like the righteousness of Christ is not imputed to you? Do you still here feel like you have to earn the salvation? Are you still here because it's Easter Sunday, it's Resurrection Sunday, and you're just here because that's what you do once a year? But you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Today, I'm here to remind you that there is room for you at the table. Today, I'm here to remind you that Jesus Christ loved you with everlasting love. And he said, go to the streets, go to the highways, go to the streets of Harrisburg, go to the streets of Lebanon, go to the streets of Hershey, go to the streets of Lancaster. And invite the lame, invite the blind, invite those that are sick, invite those that are not even welcome in McDonald's, but they are welcomed into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So I can impute my righteousness to them. So I can cover them with my righteousness. So I can forgive them, wash them, and cleanse them. This is the invitation today that it's going around the world. Come to the table of Jesus Christ. There is room for you. Because we are on a mission for the house of the Lord to be filled with people that are blind, broken, lost, and poor. So now they can find the richness and the healing and the forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. God's everlasting love was offered to us. And now in Romans chapter 8, verse 31 through 39 says this. What then shall we say to these things? You see, when we come to the table, the enemy will be there to tell you, you're still lame. You're still sinful, you're still filthy, you're still so lost, you're still so far away. And here, Apostle Paul in the book of Romans reminds the people that are being born again. He reminds the people that call themselves believers in Christ. Then what shall we say to those things? If God is for us, help me out. Who can be against us? Oh, hallelujah. If God is for you, who can stand against you? If God is for me, who can stand against me? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Hallelujah. He did not spare his own son, Jesus Christ, but he sent him to die on a cross. For now, the access for me and for you to be opened and available to come to the table. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? What a powerful thought. Listen, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Hallelujah. It is God who justified me. It is God who justified you. And nothing has the power to bring a charge against God's elect. To say that you're still lame, you're still filthy. If we are born again Christians, we are covered because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are covered in His grace and His mercy. Hallelujah. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulations or nakedness or perils word, as it is written, for your sake we are all killed as all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. In different words, through whatever what we go through, we are more than conquerors. Whatever what we go through in life, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. I love this scripture. For I am persuaded. What does it mean that I am persuaded? I know that I know that I know. It doesn't say that I have a feeling. It doesn't say that today I feel this way. It doesn't say that. But even though when I feel differently, I know that I know that I know. Hallelujah. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nothing can separate me and you from the love of Jesus Christ if you are born again Christian. Hallelujah. Nothing. What does it mean, nothing? It's nothing. It is nothing. You mean nothing? Yes, I do mean nothing. And this invitation, it is for you now. There is still room for you at this table. Like Mephibosheth, you're lame, you're lost, you're sick, you're blind, you're full of filth. But the King is in need of you and He says, come to my table because I'm gonna cover you now with my righteousness. It has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with connections, but it has everything to do with the covenant that Jesus Christ has made with His Father more than 2,000 years ago. And because of that covenant, now we have boldness to come into His presence and He covers us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He covers us. Now the Bible says there is still room at the table and there will be still room till the house will be filled and Jesus is gonna come and take us home. And there will be a new day when we're gonna stand at the new feast with Him. We're gonna be rejoicing. We're gonna be rejoicing, shouting, dancing and praising Him. At this Lamb of Life, this supper that we're gonna be having. And we're just gonna be talking about the works of the Lord. Do you remember this journey? Do you remember this journey? Do you remember where God has brought me from? It is because it has always has been about the table. It is about the table and it's gonna end with the table in heaven. Because it is all about what Jesus Christ has offered to me and to you. Would you come today to this table because there is room for you? Until the house is filled, Jesus is still waiting for me and for you as believers to go and invite those broken, invite the blind, invite those that are poor, those that are lame to come to the table so the house can be filled so He can say, now is the time. And we will see Him face to face where there will be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more sickness, but forever and ever and ever and ever rejoicing with Him. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please? Now I have in my heart to ask all of us today. I wouldn't want to finish this message without giving you the opportunity. If you did not receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to make an invitation to you to accept Him as your personal Savior. To accept Him. We're going to have the children in a moment come and they're going to be singing. But before we do that, we'll take a moment to sing a worship song. And this will be a time for you to worship Him, but also this is a time for you to respond. One of the things that we do when we come to Him, we admit that we're a sinner. We admit that we're nothing without Him. We admit that we're lame. We admit that we're poor. We admit that we're blind. Another thing that we do, we believe. We believe that He is the Son of God. We believe that He died on a cross, so now we can come to Him so He can cover us. We believe that there is only one way to heaven, and this is through Jesus Christ. And we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior over all of our life. And if this is you, if you can close your eyes in this room, maybe you're watching also online, if we can all bow our heads down and close our eyes. And if this is you, that you feel so far away that you don't find yourself at the table, this invitation is to you, my friend, to you, my brother, to you, my sister. There is room for you at the table. Please accept this invitation. And if this is you, I'm not gonna invite you to the front. I would just like to ask you to raise your hand and we're gonna just pray for you. If you're here, be bold enough to raise your hand to say, I wanna come to this table. I find myself so far away into this world. I miss being at the table. I miss being at the supper. I miss being together with my King. And if this is you that you wanna say, God, I'm recommitting my life to you, would you come and cover me? Raise your hand and we're gonna be praying for you. If you're here, raise your hand. Don't be afraid. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you that you are with us. Lord, we thank you that there is power in the cross. There is power in the resurrection. There is power in the blood of Jesus Christ. And we're here gathered today being reminded that when you are for us, nothing can stand against us. No accusation, no power of hell. But you had invited us to the table. And when we find ourselves at the table, you cover us with your grace, with your righteousness, with your forgiveness. And we want to say thank you for that. Thank you for that, oh God. We also want to thank you that you're reminding us today as the church in this community that there is still room at the table, and we have a responsibility to go and share this news with other people, to invite the lame, to invite the blind, the sick and the poor, to invite them to the table because there is still room for them. Because you are in need of them, Lord. And I pray that you would give us the grace to do that. So the house can be filled with people. And this is when the trumpet will sound. When people are gonna hear the gospel to all the nations is gonna go forward. Lord, you're gonna come and take us home. And again, we're gonna find ourselves at the table. God, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your promise. We thank you that we can look forward to this day. And we thank you for the meal that you're gonna prepare for us. It's not only prepare for us, but also you already have been prepared for us. Lord, we thank you. We love you today. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.